So in the days of Jesus, when they'd go around to the synagogues, and quite often I think Jesus was asked to read and teach. We know that for Nazareth, for sure, where he went back to his hometown. And what they had in those synagogues was called a Torah seat. I don't know, this chair is starting to look pretty good over here. So then whoever was asked to teach or read the scriptures would go sit in the Torah seat. They would not stand. So they would sit to teach and read out of the scriptures. So maybe when the season's over, that chair comes up here. So I know he gets nervous when I speak extemporaneously, but Larry did, so if Larry can do it, I can do it. 1 John 4, verses 9 and 10. In this the love of God was displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not what we loved God, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then we have Colossians 2, 13 and 14. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions, having canceled out the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross.
Hey, you may be seated. Let's pray. God, I just pray that you would speak to us this morning about really walking in forgiveness because of what you've done. In the name of Jesus, amen. So, just a curiosity, how many of you struggle with past sins that still haunt you? Yeah. I would say if none of it bothers you and none of your sins, I'd be more worried about a hardened heart. But what we're going to be talking about is really the heart of the gospel today, that we are forgiven, but there is a battle to walk in that forgiveness, to truly find freedom. And I want to say, if we as Christians are not honest about our wrestling with our sinful flesh and following the Spirit, we're going to hide our sins. Then we're just going to act religious, like, hey, I all got it going on and I don't struggle. We all struggle. Every day. There's thoughts that come into our minds that are like, and what are we going to do with them? And how there's often an accusation when that thought comes. What are we going to do with that accusation? So I want to flesh this out some. But first I want to say we have to acknowledge that wrestling with our sinful flesh and walking by the Spirit. And I think Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7, 24 through 8, verse 2. I just want to say, right before that, if you read Romans 7, he's talking about, man, I keep doing the things I don't want to do. But listen to what he said. This is right at the end of that. He says, wretched and miserable man that I am, who can rescue me and set me free from the body of death, this corrupt, mortal existence? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So on the one hand, I myself serve the law of God. On the other, with my flesh, My human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. Listen carefully. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. For the law of the Spirit of life, which is in Christ Jesus, is the law of our new being, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Did you hear that? If you believe in Jesus and you are following, there is no condemnation for our sins. I'm not saying, hey, go out and willfully sin then because there's no condemnation. Then you kind of really miss the gospel, because there's a point where when you follow Jesus, you love him, you want to please him. It isn't like, hey, it's a free pass, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. Then I really think you better examine, do you really believe in Jesus? But at the heart of the gospel, our sins are forgiven. Okay, those sins that you want no one else to know are forgiven. Those sins that you wrestle with daily are forgiven. Do you believe that? I'm going to read a couple scriptures that says we are forgiven. And it's the scripture readings for today. In 1 John 4:9-10, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his only one and only son into the world that we might have eternal life to them. How do we have eternal life? Okay, first and foremost, by our good works? No. It's only through Jesus. Why did God do that? It wasn't because of your goodness, people. It's because he loves you, period. And it continues, not that we have loved God, but he has loved, that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Okay. What did the law do? What did the Ten Commandments, what did the Jewish law do? It showed us we couldn't keep it, that we are sinners in desperate need for a Savior. Okay, all your good works do not save you. I'm not saying good works are not good. It's evidence that hopefully you're following Jesus, but it doesn't save you. The law showed us we couldn't do it. We if we were Jewish, we sacrifice animals continually. It cleans up, but it never cleaned. It never, that full forgiveness that we're looking for, which is found only in Jesus. Colossians 2:13-14. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive in Christ. For he forgave all your sins. Did you hear that? All. Okay, those sins that you don't believe you can be forgiven. I don't know how you reconcile Scripture. I have had many people come to me and say, I believe God has forgiven me, but I believe he can't forgive me for this or that. I'm sorry, that goes against Scripture. Continuing on, he canceled the record of our charges against us and took it away by nailing it to the cross. What in the world does a cross have to do with it? Okay, there's a significance when we talk about the cross. Jesus hanging in the cross and dying for us is our payment, his payment for all our sins. Without the cross, we're still back sacrificing animals. We need to understand that Jesus is the perfect and complete sacrifice for our sins. If we believe that, then we can forgive that we can believe we're forgiven. If you don't, you're going to be striving, and you're going to be evaluating how well are you doing, because you're trying to earn your own righteousness. Doesn't work well. In most other religions, that's what they're trying to do. You have to do certain things to be atoned for your sins. That's the uniqueness about the gospel. The gospel says If you repent and believe upon him, you are saved. All your sins are forgiven. That feels like a cheap way. You know, I need to do something to be forgiven. Yeah, believe. And if you believe, you will follow. I think sometimes we complicate, and I'm sorry, within the world of our Christianity, we've complicated it because we've become very legalistic. You do X, Y, and Z, and therefore you're saved. No. We are saved purely by what Jesus did on the cross. Period. Don't add to it. And I love just looking at what God did. Ephesians 2:8. I think I read this verse even last week. For by grace. Okay. Is grace something we earn? No. Grace is God's unmerited favor. We don't earn it. It's freely given. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Okay, here comes that word faith. Do you believe? Do you believe what Jesus did on the cross saves you? Or don't you? And if you believe it, then you're going to follow him. And it continues, and this is not of yourself. This is a gift of God. That gift is the forgiveness of our sins. Why is that significant? If we're forgiven of our sins, then we're righteous before God. And you didn't do it. God did it. That's really hard to accept. Because in our flesh, we want to earn it. You cannot earn it. It is a gift from God. It was like, I think a couple weeks ago, I talked about the gift of salvation. It's impossible to save ourselves. And yet, boy, don't we try. So, in the book of Acts, if you remember, they're waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit comes, and there are just these thousands of people are going, how must we be saved? They were convicted of their sin. And here's what Peter said, but this is the gospel, people. Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. That is the gospel. Okay, there's a point of, by God's grace we repent. By his grace. And we also repent, we turn to him, we have to have faith. To be baptized in him means I'm going to follow him. I mean, because back then, for you to be baptized into Jesus meant it wasn't going to be fun with the Jewish community. You're going to be pretty well excommunicated. For us, it's like, there's no consequence if we're baptized or not. For the forgiveness of our sins. Okay, again, did you hear that? When we believe in Jesus, all our sins are forgiven. So if Jesus died for our sins, is his forgiveness for some of our sins, but not for those big sins? You know the answer. Yeah. But do you really believe that? Or are you throughout often asking God for those sins you want no one to know about? So here's the question. Is Jesus' sacrifice on the cross complete or incomplete? All your sins forgiven or part of your sins forgiven? Okay, there's a real danger with this thought. Because if I believe that my bigger sins are not forgiven, I really want to say then who can be saved? Because it's a partial payment. If it's a partial payment, then we're not saved. But if it's a complete payment, all our sins are forgiven. Partial means I'm going to have to try and earn it. I'm going to have to do some of the right things to be forgiven. Like beating myself up enough. If I beat myself up enough, then I can be forgiven. Where's that in the scripture? Where's that in the gospel? And how often we do it. I hope I'm past this, but I'm not sure. We'll wait. But how often I remember in the past, some of those bigger sins, I would beat myself up for 2 to 6 months. Somehow, then I could forgive myself. But did not that deny the gospel? And there's a bigger issue here. When I beat myself up, I'm putting my faith in me not to do it again. It doesn't work well. But when I choose to be forgiven, who am I putting my faith in? I'm putting my faith in Jesus Christ, that I am forgiven by what he did on the cross. That it is a complete payment for my sins. Again, that is the gospel, people. We need to choose to believe it. Jesus' payment for our sins, if it doesn't cover all our sins, then no one can be saved again. You understand that? It's complete. If it's partial, then we're all going to hell. And I want to say, who decides what's forgivable and what isn't forgivable? How often we decide? Are we the judge? When you stand, when you die, are you going to be the judge? Yeah, God, I can't be forgiven because I did this. Or, yeah, I'm forgiven even though you ignore stuff. Who's the perfect judge? It says that Jesus is going to be the judge. Is he not perfect in every way? Is he not God? I think I will choose him. Because the last time I've checked, I'm so imperfect. But how I judge myself, I need to be careful. Because when I hold on to those sins, I'm saying I have to earn my forgiveness of those sins. How about if we let Jesus be the judge? So, I want to just think about some questions here. What are those sins in your life that you find difficult or you can't forgive yourself for? Okay, we probably all have those. Yep. And then ask yourselves, is there a reason why you don't want to forgive yourself for those certain sins? I know for me in the past, I felt like I had to earn forgiveness. So if I beat myself up enough, then somehow I earned forgiveness. But that never lasts very long because the devil would come along and accuse me again, and then I'd have to wrestle with it. Yeah, it's a good definition of craziness, but I think we all wrestle with it. You know, we have sinful flesh here. And it says scripturally that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. And he comes along and accuses us. And I love what he does because, you know, he tempts us in the sin. And then when we sin, he accuses us of it. Is that not crazy? And yet we fall for it pretty well every time. Unless we choose to fix our eyes on Jesus and say, oh, wait a minute, Satan, I'm not going there. You have forgiven me, and I'm going to choose to walk in that forgiveness and not pick it up again. It's been put in the cross. Jesus' blood is over it. Okay, it's done. I can't change it. Because when we want to change it, we're basically trying to earn our forgiveness. So, and how often that whole trying to earn our righteousness, our forgiveness, I love how in the book of Galatians, Apostle Paul kind of addresses this, a warning about trying to earn our own righteousness. In Galatians 5:4, it says, those who seek to be justified and declared righteous and to be given a right standing with God through the law, you are brought to nothing and separated, severed from Christ. Because basically you're saying, I don't need you, Jesus. I can earn my salvation. I can earn my forgiveness. Good luck. You can't. It's only through faith in Jesus Christ that you're forgiven. And before that, it talks about grace. And I can't separate the two. Because it's by grace I come to Jesus that I'm kept. But I have to choose to believe. And at the same time, I want to say I need his hope even to believe. But don't let your inability to forgive yourself, because I know a lot of us wrestle with that, distort what Jesus did for you. I'm going to repeat that. Don't let your inability to forgive yourself distort what Jesus did for you. Again, choose to forgive yourself by reminding yourself you're completely forgiven. That is a choice. That is a battle that we have to be consistent with. Because if we don't, then Satan gets that foothold. Look what you have done. How could God ever love you? Just give it up. You're a mistake. That is definitely not God. And there's a real danger with that. So who are you going to believe? When Satan comes along and accuses our brethren, the quote describes him as the father of lies. Are you going to believe him? Or are you going to believe the one who died for you so you can be forgiven? And you are forgiven, those who believe in him. It seems like a duh question or a duh answer, but I want to say, we're going to wrestle with that. Because Satan's going to continue to accuse us until we go to heaven. But you have a choice who you're going to believe. So, another question. What are the sins that the devil accuses you of the most? I have two. And there's a constant battle like, am I going to go down that road or not? And do you believe you are forgiven for those sins? And if not, why? It's important that if not why, what is the belief? What is the lie? Because that belief that you can't be forgiven goes against Scripture. So you need to deal with that lie. Otherwise, it's going to remain. Satan's got a foothold. So again, keep saying, choose to believe that you are forgiven of all your sins. And there's no sin too great to be forgiven for. So either the word of God is true when we're told that Jesus paid the price for all our sins. Thus we are forgiven. If it isn't true, then we're just, like Paul said, we're just fools believing in something that's untrue. That Christ came and died for all our sins, and we're saved through him. So going back to Colossians chapter 2, as we read earlier, it says all our sins are nailed to the cross. In other words, by what Jesus did on the cross, our sins are forgiven. Again, not some of them, all of them. I'm stressing that because we tend to have those sins we don't want to let go of. So why do we struggle with forgiving ourselves? I think that's something individually we need to pray about. Those sins that haunt us. Why do you struggle to forgive yourself? There's no sin too great, too big, that isn't forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. And this battle with sin, who do you lean upon? Do you lean around your own willpower when you're tempted? I can do this on my own. Or do you lean upon the Holy Spirit to go, please help me? And do you lean upon the truth that you are forgiven? Or do you try to earn it? So if you could nail one sin on the cross and know you're truly forgiven for it, what would it be? Sometimes it's hard to narrow it to one. But Jesus willingly went to the cross so that we be forgiven. Not for one, not for two, but all your sins. So choose, believe that you're forgiven. And sometimes those beliefs are very strong. And when let's say you deal with it, I believe I'm forgiven. When you start with that certain lie of sin or sins, it's going to feel like a lie because it's taken hold. But the more you pronounce, I believe I'm forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross, you're going to believe it, and then there comes freedom. So in conclusion, I want to say there's a whole lot more I could say about forgiveness, because there's the need to forgive each other, and okay, that's for a different sermon. I just really felt like the need to know that all your sins are forgiven. Do not let Satan get a foothold. And do not try to work out your own salvation, being right before God by your works. It isn't going to work. It says in the scripture, all our attempts to be righteous before God are like filthy rags. And because we're forgiven, here's the neat thing. We get to spend eternity in heaven with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And if we really know we're forgiven, then you can't deny how much God loves us, because I surely don't deserve to be forgiven. And yet, Jesus came, God in the person of Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. And it wasn't about my doing, it was about his love, put him on that cross and say, I'm willing to suffer God's wrath for these people, because I love him. I love them. Wow. I pray we understand that love in a much deeper way. And if we really understand that love, aren't we going to want others to know? I think we're going to be a ton more intentional. I mean, I look at the apostles who are like hiding in the room, scared. The power of the Holy Spirit comes upon them. And they're radical. I mean, they're threatened, Peter and John get beaten and they're like, yeah, more. I'm worthy. That love for Jesus, and they understood what he did for them. It didn't matter anymore. I want to conclude with the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 1, 6 through 7. He said, so we praise God for the glorious grace that he poured out on us who belong to his dear Son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his Son and forgave your sins. When I read that, such love. I'm sorry, I'm not willing to sacrifice my son for you guys. But God did. God the Father did. And not only that, you only came to know him because of his grace, that he drew you to him. And by his grace, you are kept. Because I know for myself, if God pulls his grace, I'd fall in an instant. I know my sinful flesh and how desperately I need Jesus every day to walk that life committed to him. And I want to say every day I fall short. and in my shortness is forgiven by what Jesus did on the cross. Let's choose to walk in that. Amen. So